Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Tuesday, November. Oh my God, November 22nd, 2016, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, joined as always by the King, Scott Angle, the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson.
Yo.
And Tony Zincana as well. We go to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Fantasy Best Friends forever come your way then. 844-843-6879. 844-843-6879. The number to dial in. Scotty, what's going on, my friend?
Good day. Getting ready to chat live on rotoexperts.com tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern for exclusive Edge members. And won three key games fantasy-wise this week, so feeling good.
Fantasy Executive, how you doing, bud?
Feeling good. Week 11 is in the books, so we're still treading water, climbing towards the top, keeping pace, you know what I mean? So need a little push to get to where we want to get to as far as fantasy football leagues are concerned, that I'm still actively in and chasing down the money. So and other than that, it's a solid week 11. You know what I mean? So I'm happy. I feel good this morning. I'm ready to roll.
Yeah, you know, I actually looked at my fantasy matchups this morning, and I realized I'm in a much more precarious position than I realized.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Even sitting here at like 7-4, I thought, I'm guaranteed to be in. And I'm just like, oh boy, I gotta win another one. I face the top two teams in the league. And
oh,
like,
you got it. So you gotta earn.
I gotta earn.
You gotta earn it.
I gotta earn it. Tony, good morning.
How we doing? You know, it's a great, great day. You know, I'm sitting here looking at the King. Right, King's in first place in the league we're in.
Yeah.
I'm two behind him with two to go, and I'm looking at it. I gotta play the best team in the league this week. I can win though. I could beat this team. My team's right there, and I'm looking forward. I hope the King can lose this week and make it interesting next week.
So basically, you helped. Didn't you try to help Scott lose last week?
Scott actually had a great week last week, right? Scott, you had a couple guys. Oh, Kelly, is that the guy you had?
Yeah,
last week?
That was one of the key games that I won in the Greenwich Street Tavern League. I beat the other first place team. I had Rob Kelly and Jameson Crowder going on Sunday night, which certainly helped.
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't hurt. That's for sure.
No.
So you guys are doing well. Last night's Monday Night Football game, Scotty. What did you see? What did you think? What's going on?
Well, you know, there wasn't a whole lot till the ending, but it was really about David Carr and Lamar Miller
last night.
Derek Carr and Lamar Miller, like they said on Best Friends Forever yesterday. Corey said nobody corrects you like your best friends. Derek Carr, you know, is locked in every week, starting fantasy quarterback, facing a good defense. Lamar Miller was impressive, though. You know, he came in banged up and took advantage of a good matchup.
Derek Carr locked and loaded, you say, as a quarterback every week, right? You just said that?
Pretty much.
So when he faces Denver again, you're going to start him?
Depends on what my other option is.
So he's not locked and loaded as an every week starter.
I would say yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tony, you buying Derek Carr after last night's 295-3?
Am I buying him? He's a guy with those two weapons on offense I can see playing every week. But the real story is, he was outplayed by Brock Osweiler last night, and Brock played his best game, and Braxton Miller actually was on the field more than Fuller in this contest, a Will Fuller. So a lot happening there from an offensive perspective.
Let's take a look at it from the Houston side. Houston, 243 and a touchdown last night for Brock Osweiler, who I actually thought from what I saw looked pretty good. You know, as Tony said, his best game that he has seen from Brock Osweiler, I thought he looked good. Braxton Miller on the field more than Will Fuller. Fuller's first game back from a multi-week injury here. Fuller only had that one catch for 17 yards. He almost dropped that ball. Braxton Miller caught the touchdown, 5 for 25 for him. C.J. Fedorowicz led the way, 6 for 82. Nuke Hopkins, is it Nuke or Nuck?
Nuke.
It's Nuke, okay. Nuke Hopkins had 5 for 58. And as Scotty said, Lamar Miller had 24 for 104 and a touchdown. So the Houston offense was kind of rolling, Tony, last night.
Yeah, you look at the quarterback rating. Brock Osweiler, 82. Derek, 74. So he played well last night. If he could play like this, it's crazy they lost this game, right? When he throws for 99 yards, he's winning games. But that's how it plays. Braxton Miller is a guy that I really love. If you're in a dynasty league or keeper league, he's going to be better than Terrell Pryor in 3 years.
An interesting statement. Corey, comparing all old Ohio State quarterbacks, Braxton Miller and Terrell Pryor. Pryor's now had a couple of years here as a wide receiver. Braxton Miller is still learning his craft in year number two. Do you believe the same?
Both these Youngstown boys, both of them can play. They are terrific athletes. Braxton Miller, I do think, has something that's a little bit more than what Terrell Pryor has, so I agree. That's not taking nothing away from Terrell Pryor, but I think in the long run, Braxton Miller will be the better player. Braxton Miller is another guy. He's a multidimensional athlete also, so it's going to be interesting to see his development.
Yeah, I absolutely.
This guy was wanted by every college. Every college wanted this guy, and he could play any position he wanted to. He's that kind of a superior athlete. And then the injuries, of course, he switches to wide receivers last year at Ohio State, and he's learning it on the job. I think in 3 years, this guy's going to be a stud.
I think he'll be a stud. It's definitely possible, but in this offense, he is still a number three wide receiver behind Nuke Hopkins, and then when Will Fuller gets healthy, just going forward, Tony, not even this year, just going forward, he's going to have Will Fuller and Nuke there too.
Well, I don't know. I don't even know who the coach will be next year, right? Yeah, I mean, this is the National Football League. Things change dramatically.
Yes, yes, they
Braxton
absolutely
Miller
do.
Can be on the Jets in 2 years from now.
As their starting quarterback.
Yeah. Interesting, last night, like, I don't think any other quarterback has done this. Last night, Brock Osweiler came in as, like, the only quarterback in the league to have three 40-attempt games in which he threw for less than 200 yards. So it was nice
that's
to see
pitiful.
Him get over the 200-yard hump.
That's
he was averaging, I think, 5.7 yards per completion.
Yeah, because he's terrible. But yeah. Not last night.
He managed the game well last night. The officiating was terrible from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, they took a touchdown away from Hopkins.
From what I'm hearing, I didn't get to see much of it, but, I mean, everybody's just up in arms over
they
the
officiating. They said he stepped out of bounds on a long touchdown catch, and he didn't, and it was not reviewable.
Why was it not reviewable?
They said, you know, like a play like that where, you know, where the referee's calling whether the runner is out of bounds, the rule book says it's not reviewable.
They probably should just call it a touchdown, and they reviewed it anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, why would you not give yourself the out because you can review the scoring play?
It wasn't a scoring play, though.
They
stopped it. He was out of bounds.
You know what's crazy is that game, of any game that I've seen this year, seemed like a game that was fixed. There were plays in the fourth quarter where they obviously got first downs, and they reviewed them. They challenged the spot. He was a yard over the first down marker, and they didn't change the call. Like, if you're reviewing the plays and still getting them wrong, it leads people to speculate on all kinds of things happen. It happened twice last night, and that out-of-bounds play was crazy. It was almost like this game was fixed.
That's not nothing that you throw around lightly, but I follow a bookmaker on Twitter.
Sure.
And he was like, he has seen over thousands of NFL games, and he has heard thousands of people say that they think the NFL is fixed.
Of course.
He was like, last night was the first time he thought that a game could have possibly been fixed.
Hmm. Interesting. So I don't usually buy that, but it's interesting. You know.
Yeah, I'm just putting it out there. It's not even 7:30 in the morning, and two people that I've or two of the comments I've heard on that game were that they thought the game was fixed.
Yep.
Major League Baseball is the only sport that has the replay officials in it off the field. Like the NBA, the referees sit around and they look at it. The NFL does the same thing. I think that this one game might change that next year and put the replays in a central location like Major League Baseball does in Secaucus, New Jersey. I think the same thing could happen in the NFL based on this one game.
Well, I mean, they have their central replay location in Manhattan. It's just the final call goes to the referees. I know Blandino's on the line. What's his name? Alberto Riveron's on the line. Coughlin's there. So it's like all these people are there, but the final call does come down to the ref. But I agree with you, Tony. It doesn't make much sense to have the referees on the field do it because they're, you know, attached to the emotion of the game that the coach is screaming at them. You know, these guys in New York, you just look at the replay and make the call.
You know how bad the officiating was last night? Lamar Miller got down to the 1 yard line. They thought he got in the end zone. They went and reviewed it, and the official said the Oakland runner was down at the goal line. First and goal, Oakland.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, see, to me, that's not, you know, bad officiating. That's just like kind of getting nervous and speaking wrong. You know what I mean? There's a difference between bad officiating and just.
Well, I think if you're an NFL official, you're used to speaking in front of all those people.
Well, you can, but you actually used to see it with Cleet Blakeman, who actually ref the Super Bowl last year. Cleet Blakeman was petrified of speaking, and he stumbled and stuttered, and everyone's like, wow, this guy's a terrible referee because he couldn't speak properly. But that doesn't make you a bad referee if you can't speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's amusing regardless.
I'm not saying it's not amusing. I'm just saying their ability to speak doesn't necessarily have any effect on their ability to ref.
It's a joke in light of everything else.
Okay. For the Oakland Raiders, not much room on the ground here. Latavius Murray, 12 carries for 33 yards. Jalen Richard, DeAndre Washington also did nothing. They could not run the ball. Then for Oakland receiving, you have the fullback, Olawale, 3 catches, 90 yards, including the 75-yard touchdown last night. Latavius Murray had 5 for 59 in the air. Amari Cooper, the game-winning touchdown, 4 for 57. Michael Crabtree had 3 catches for 5 yards, Scotty.
Yeah, bad night, plagued with drops. He was having trouble with the altitude. He did draw 2 flags, but it was a very, very disappointing night for Crabtree. If you played in the standard league, you got a 0.
Oh boy! And we were looking for that from Crabtree. We've got accustomed to seeing better from that. That's like the old Michael Crabtree. But just looking at this box score, it looked like the Raiders did a good job of spreading the football out in this game, getting everybody involved. No real fantasy thing to point at or look at. Latavius Murray, the 12 carries for 33 yards, is not good.
But they were very sluggish.
The Texans are
late in the
good defensive.
They like woke up
play.
In the fourth quarter.
Go ahead, Tom.
But you saw something here. There was 199 yards receiving by the running backs in Oakland. So basically, they didn't attack the secondary. They attacked the linebackers in Houston, and 199 yards receiving in this one. That's an amazing number to put together from running backs, and this is going to be a trend you're going to see going forward. They had 11 catches for 199 yards.
Yeah, this was a well-coached game. They were talking about how they had actually seemed to attack the linebackers in coverage on film, so that's something you may want to watch for, too, when your running backs face the Texans in the next few weeks.
Well-coached, but not well-officiated.
Well-coached, but not well officiated. I don't know. I think Bill O'Brien didn't play well.
Bingo.
What's bingo?
Yeah, Jack Del Rio took another shot on 4th and 2 last night. Instead of punting the ball up by 7, he kept the ball and got a first down as he continues to be crazy at Jack Del Rio.
I love it. I love Black Jack Del Rio. And I know that Bill O'Brien coach is scared. He punted the ball for no reason last night. So
yes, he did.
I wouldn't say that it's a bingo for good coaching, bad officiating. I don't think the coaching was good. I think Bill O'Brien stunk. I think Jack Del Rio doesn't play scared. I don't think he necessarily makes the right decisions, but he doesn't play scared. Mike Tom, I don't know. I don't know if there's good coaching last night.
Well, at least by Del Rio.
What? Wait, but it's good coaching because they got the first down, right? That's why it's good coaching?
No, yeah. I was saying, I think the game plan was sharp. It wasn't good coaching across the board.
I don't know if the game plan was sharp either. They were down a lot of this game.
The game plan was sharp. The execution wasn't good until the fourth quarter.
Oh, how would you say that, though? What makes the game plan good if the execution wasn't good until the fourth quarter?
If you see it on film, that the linebackers
could be exploited. Wait, you watched film from last night already?
Exploited in coverage. No, I'm talking about, that they came in realizing that they could exploit the linebackers in coverage, and they got 2 touchdowns to the running backs, receiving-wise. So that's good game planning.
I don't know. Tony?
Yeah, I think they definitely, this is what their approach, they took the wide receivers out of the play in this game. And I'll tell you, Michael Crabtree, that was an interesting game where he had 7 targets, though, in this contest, but they're all right around the line of scrimmage. He didn't really get down the field, which was a little shocking to me. And then Amari Cooper bust that out later in the game. I think there was a lot of respect for the Houston defense in this game. And Houston Texans, I think Bill O'Brien said, hey, we're going to let Brock Osweiler throw the ball around in this contest. I mean, when you think about it, Brock Osweiler had 39 throws. How many times are you going to see that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He actually had 3 40-yard games this season.
I was about to say that.
First time he went above 200 yards. Yeah. And some of his reads were better last night. Like, he was hitting receivers a little bit more downfield than he had earlier this season.
He was scared. They thought they was going to leave him there.
Yeah, I mean, Brock Osweiler is throwing the ball a lot. It's just not going anywhere, as you pointed out here, Scotty.
Yeah.
He's throwing the ball. He's not really going anywhere except for last night, obviously, where it did. So there you go. The Raiders are in second place here in the AFC West, in a good spot. Denver and Kansas City play each other on Sunday, which is obviously good for Oakland and the Raiders.
I don't think that's true, right?
You don't think it's good for Oakland?
The Raiders first.
The Raiders right now have the number one seed in the AFC. If the season ended today, we talked about this on Old School Fantasy Hour yesterday, they would own the first tiebreaker over the Patriots, and the second one wouldn't go into play. And then I think strength of victory would give them the home field advantage.
It's the wins tiebreaker over New England based on winning percentage in common games. So who did New England lose to?
I don't know the breakdown, but I read this twice yesterday.
They lost to Buffalo and Seattle.
They lost to Buffalo and Seattle. Did Oakland beat Buffalo? Is that what it was? Oakland hasn't played Buffalo, right? I don't know the win percentage in common game. I don't know how that breaks out.
Miami Dolphins are in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, you know, a lot more to come. We'll see. So Oakland here next week. The Oakland Raiders, I believe, face Carolina. I want to say, yeah, Oakland is at home against Carolina next week. Then home against the Bills. Then in KC, in San Diego, home against India. Then week 17 is the Broncos. Their schedule is pretty nice going forward for the Raiders.
Well, those are three divisional games. You know, it's like you never know. Like you know, against Kansas City, San Diego, or Denver.
Well, I agree, but you know the division games are coming, right? Like, you knew that wasn't like a surprise to you.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, you know, it's I like the rest of the schedule, but, you know, I can't assume anything with those other three.
I'm not saying you assume anything. I'm just saying it's pretty nice. Well, the Patriots come to New York this week, face the Jets, then home for L.A., home against Baltimore, in Denver, home against the Jets, and then in Miami to wrap up the year.
Yeah, I like New England's schedule better.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I do.
The divisional games are easier.
Yo, Corey, I think I know what you're about to say. What's up, Tone?
The Raiders are 6-2 on grass. How many players have to be on grass?
Yep, saw that one coming.
probably a good amount of the team probably is on grass.
So, there you go. The Raiders right now, number one seed, as Scott said. They New England jostling for that 1-2 spot. We'll see if Oakland can hang on to a bye. Houston, by the way, they are still number 3 seed overall. The Texans at 6-4. The Colts are at 5-5. The Titans are at 5-6. But the Texans might be in a very good spot considering what we found out yesterday. We talk about that and continue on the show coming up on the Road to Experts in the Morning. Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. As I was saying before, the Texans are sitting third place in the AFC, 6-4. Haven't beaten a good team yet, but nevertheless, 6-4 here in the AFC South in a division that I'm not confident anybody wants to win. And we said yesterday, who do we think is going to win the division? And I said, you know, I wanted it to be the Titans. I think they're the best team, but they didn't have enough time. And then people pointed out it very well could be the Indianapolis Colts. And then late last night it breaks, and Andrew Luck is in the concussion protocol, and they play on Thursday night, which makes it very, very tough for a player to get cleared through concussion protocol by Thursday night. Now, we have seen it. We saw it with Devontae Adams earlier in the year, and Adams came back and had one of his best games of the year on Thursday night. So it is possible, however, quite unlikely for Andrew Luck, which puts the Texans in a very good spot.
Andrew Luck puts the Texans in a very good spot because they can get two games up in this division. Now, Andrew Luck owners, they got to be thinking, are you kidding me? You wait till week 12 for this to happen. So you have, going into week 12, if you are Andrew Luck owner, a T.Y. Hilton, a Dante Moncrief owner, Jack Doyle, you know, which we'll probably talk about him a little bit more later on.
Yes.
You're in a bad spot going into week 12 because if Andrew Luck can't get cleared out of this concussion protocol, I can't even tell you who the Colts back. Who is the Colts back?
Scott Tolzien.
So Scott Tolzien is the backup quarterback in that situation. This does not look pretty for owners of those players going down the stretch.
There's a danger with that, though. A danger to assume that just, okay, of course, you know, you're downgrading from a superstar quarterback. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a danger to assume that these guys won't put up any numbers at all. I mean, you look back at some of the games long. Tolzien, in 2013, he started three games for Green Bay, right?
Yeah, he's probably falling off the cliff since
now,
then.
Now, he had one touchdown and five interceptions, but...
What?
Overall in three starts. But...
So one touchdown and three starts.
But he had a 280-yard game and a 339-yard game. So it's not like these guys make him fall completely off the face of the earth.
Well, that was years ago, too, though.
And it was one touchdown in three games.
Yeah, but look at the yardage. You're talking about 300
yards,
though.
Who did they play?
They played Philadelphia, the Giants, and Minnesota.
Those teams are totally different.
Here, look at last year when Luck was out. Matt Hasselbeck had two touchdown games.
Matt Hasselbeck, though.
And a 315-yard game. What I'm saying is that... You know, these guys aren't completely going to fall off the face of the earth. You downgrade them, of course, naturally, but I don't think, you know, we can assume we're going to see two catches for 20 yards either.
So to me, I'm more on the Corey side of things, Scotty, that as an owner of Dante Moncrief, let's say, as an owner of T.Y. Hilton, certainly Jack Doyle, I'm petrified. Absolutely petrified. And I don't even want to start these guys on Thursday night.
I don't know if I'm petrified. I think it's a downgrade where I go,
clearly,
okay, T.Y. Hilton's maybe not a wide receiver one. Maybe he's a 2/3. Moncrief becomes a borderline starter. And what other really tight end options do I really have?
I'm going to have to find tight end options. Yeah. I cannot start Jack Doyle on Thursday night. I cannot do it.
I don't know if I'd bet T.Y. Hilton.
I'm being honest now. You know how much I love Jack Doyle?
I know.
I don't know if you can start him Thursday night with Peyton Manning. I
mean, Peyton Manning.
I mean, with Andrew Luck.
Tony, we'll get back to that in a second.
Yeah.
Tony, where are you here on this? Because I'm scared. Corey's obviously scared. Scott's trying to be the voice of reason here with us. Where are you, Tony?
I have T.Y. Hilton on the team, and he's too good of a player that you can't sit out in that kind of matchup. But if setting up in this game, Pittsburgh's the fourth worst team against the run in the National Football League. They'll rely on Turbin, Frank Gore, and they'll try to run the ball and keep it close in that game. I tell you what, if I was going to play any of the guys that and have a little confidence, probably Jack Doyle's the one I would. Because what are your expectations going in? I mean, if you look at it from a daily fantasy perspective, he's like $2,800. If you look at it from a season-long perspective, if you play Jack Doyle, you already lost a tight end. You pick the guy up off the waiver wire, and who the hell are you going to get at the tight end position that's going to put up double-digit points? And I think he has a shot. You see when quarterbacks come in, over the middle of the field, the tight end position is the one place that they absolutely look.
Corey's going to go harder in on Jared Cook now.
There you go. Yeah. Coming down the stretch right now, this news, not to mention the fact they're looking like Dwayne Allen. They like Dwayne Allen, even though he's just mainly blocking. So performance from Doyle this past week, Scott's looking at my computer screen. I am doubling down. I'm going all the way in. For 1 week only, on Jared Cook, on Bigfoot. For me to sit here talk about how I'm about to empty my fab budget on Jared Cook, Scott, how ironic is that?
Right?
A player who I've despised for years.
And he's going to, you know, he's going to get 0 points this week, right?
Please don't say that, Greg.
I'm just being honest,
Greg,
with you.
Please don't say that. This is week 12. I can't
by
take
the, by the way,
you should start Jared Cook.
With Scott Tolzien, the quarterback against the Giants in 2013, Jordy Nelson, 8 catches, 117 yards.
Giants stink, believe me. I watched that game.
In 2013.
Giants should have lost that game.
He still got the ball to his playmaker.
Hold on. Are the Pittsburgh Steelers any good?
No, they're awful. Their defense is awful. Don't get me wrong. So, all right. Get the ball to his playmaker, Scott, right? So, you're starting T.Y. Hilton. He's too good of a player. As Tony said, they're going to run the ball.
Jared Boykin had a 100-yard game also with Tolzien, the quarterback. 8 catches for 112 yards.
So, should I start Dante Moncrief?
I think what depends on the other options are.
Wait, come on.
I think I should start Scott Tolzien.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Right? Depends what other options are.
One touchdown and five interceptions, no. But I'm saying the receivers, they don't come but totally irrelevant and dead.
All right, so that's the case. Should I start Dante Moncrief?
As a wide receiver three, I think you can consider it.
Dante Moncrief or Marvin Jones?
Dante Moncrief.
So you're still starting Dante Moncrief?
Yeah, I'm not starting Marvin Jones.
Huh.
I don't even look at the matchup.
I like Matt Stafford a lot this week.
Cool. Yeah,
so do I, but I don't like Marvin Jones.
Matthew Stafford.
There's no way they're going to run that ball there's no way they run the ball against Minnesota. So volume-wise, he didn't throw the ball over 40 times in that game. But I just can't. It's tough when you look at the Minnesota defense. They lock down on number one wide receiver. So you take Golden Tate out of the mix. Marvin Jones, Anquan Boldin, Eric Ebron. Where do you go? Or is it
Riddick.
Theo Riddick. I mean, these are great situations here, and I think this is going to be a good contest. I actually like Stephon Diggs, but he's dealing with a knee injury, and then he has a short week.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of question marks in that game, and the second, the Minnesota's defense is good. As bad as the offense has become, the Minnesota's defense is pretty good. Okay, how about this one, Scott? Dante Moncrief or Cole Beasley?
Who's Beasley got? Washington?
Mm-hmm.
PPR, right?
Half point.
I'm going to go Beasley.
So you're going to go, all right, yeah. So you go on Cole Beasley, a second wide receiver on Dallas, yeah, over your boy Dante Moncrief.
Yeah.
Corey, you agree?
Wow. Beasley, the sauce. Yeah. The way it stands right now, I think I would start Beasley over Dante Moncrief.
Tony?
Yeah, I would too. Here's the thing is we don't know what's going to happen with Scott Tolzien. When I think of Cole Beasley against Washington, 5 catches, 50 yards. If he gets in the end zone, I get 16 points. But the bottom being 10, I'll take that.
All right. All right. It's just very, very hard to bench Dante Moncrief for Cole Beasley on Thursday night, that's for sure.
I totally agree. But the thing with so many weapons, even with Andrew Luck, what do we see? 4 catches for 30 yards. He got in the end zone, which made it a nice day. But if he didn't get that touchdown, well, you've been scratching your head about Dante Moncrief last week in a good matchup.
Absolutely. But like we were saying, a lot of question marks here with the Colts this week, with Andrew Luck. With Andrew Luck most likely out. Now, we don't want to say he's out yet because, magically he could wake up today and be fine, and he'll get through that concussion protocol. But the odds are not good.
If he was the quarterback on Thursday night, Thursday night for the Indianapolis Colts, I would feel as if the concussion protocol is kind of like a joke.
Well, we saw Devontae Adams play through. He played very well.
That's true.
I think every player is different in how they respond.
No question about it. Every hit is different. Every player is different. Every recovery is different. A lot more questions. Yes, Tony.
I get so mad about these things. I'm mad about, like, concussion protocol.
Mm-hmm.
If a player wants to play, why don't you let him play? And here's my argument. You let people drive around with motorcycles without a helmet in certain states. Why can't we just let these guys play football?
Because I think we're protecting them from themselves.
Yeah, they're not protecting them from themselves.
I want personal choice.
They're not protecting them from themselves. They don't want you to get too many concussions,
right, yeah, and
keep coming back and playing, and then
sue
sue the NFL. Right. That's what they don't want.
They're protecting themselves, the player.
Yeah, they're protecting their pocket. You don't think, that's cattle on the field.
Yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right.
I hate to say it that way, you know what I'm saying, but we're all adults here.
Yeah. You're right. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll take your calls, 844-843-6879. We'll get to some of the headlines from yesterday. The Andrew Luck thing kind of came out of nowhere, as did the Jay Cutler thing. We'll talk about that when we return. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Back here on the Roto Experts on the Morning, though, on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We take your tweets at FNCSY Radio, and also take your calls at 844-843-6879-844-844-FNTSY. Let's go to Kelly in Tampa. Good morning, Kelly.
Hey, girl.
Hey, guys.
What up, Kels?
Not much. I think I should do a public service announcement to all your listeners and tell them who's on my team so they get rid of them, because I have a target, apparently, for injuries this year.
How bad is it now, Kels?
Sound like my card, I don't know.
I lost ProSize, wondering what's going on with Woods, and then I have a backup quarterback that I can drop to pick up some other players.
Okay.
So what's available is Royal, Perkins, Kenneth Dixon, Lewis, Garcon, Sanu, Curly, Amendola.
It's a lot.
Deep here.
The only guy viable out there that I heard the name was Dixon. That was probably about it.
Garcon is viable.
Why don't
this week?
You think Garcon or
Garcon
Sanu?
Too. Garcon too. Yeah, and Sanu.
Okay.
All right.
Now, what do you need exactly, Kels? How are you trying to fill this lineup out early on this Tuesday morning so we can give you a hand. Since, you know, we got to play the games, they start playing the games on Thursday. What are you trying to do? Who's going to be your quarterback?
I've got Phillip Rivers as my quarterback.
Okay.
I start 3 wide receivers, 2 running backs, and a flex. My starting wide receivers as of right now are Antonio Brown, Corey Coleman, and Crowder.
Mm-hmm.
And then my starting running back would be DeMarco Murray and Crowell.
I'd like to get those Cleveland Browns out of the lineup if I could.
Well, Corey Coleman should get get volume this week.
Mm-hmm.
As far as now that I know the crowd is on this team.
Saying that about Coleman, though, we haven't seen nothing.
Well, now yeah, he had a ton of targets this week, though.
Now that I know that he did have a ton of targets. Crowder is on the team.
What do you do with him?
Then Garcon is not as appealing because I don't want to start 2 Washington players, even though they should be a fantasy-friendly game.
Yeah. And then you got,
I have Kelly.
Oh, so your lineup is set. You're just looking for some pieces on the bench.
What about Sanu over Coleman?
It's like 6.5 dozen.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I know you're talking about the Washington thing, Corey, though, but I feel like I can maybe get more of a floor at Garcon than I could with Coleman.
Do you want Crowder and Garcon in your starting lineup, though?
That could be...
And Rob Kelly?
Fat Rob?
It's like running a stack. It's like a DFS
play. Yeah, they got to score 35 points.
You don't want to, but I feel like, you know, you got to play your best.
But you're hedging your bets. I mean, you're playing the running game, and you're playing – not only are you playing Kelly, which is fine, but you're also playing two wide receivers.
But look at the structure of this team, though. They throw a lot, and that could set up Kelly
They're not playing the Packers this week, though.
Yeah, but they're still going to throw.
I don't mind Crowder and Kelly in the same lineup. Crowder, Kelly, and Garcon, that's a little bit much for me.
What do you think, Tony?
I don't have a problem. My option's Corey Coleman. I mean, as good as you look at that, like, take Sanu and Coleman, the difference maker to me is one team scores about 10 points a game, and the Atlanta Falcons score 28 points a game. And so that's the thing. I get more opportunities there, and the Redskins' offense is there. So when you're in a season long, though, Corey, and you play 3 guys from 1 guy, you're not looking for the optimal scoring method. It's not like a tournament and you have to beat 1,000 people. You have to beat 1 person. So if you think the Washington Redskins could put up 24 points and you have 3 of the offensive weapons there, something could be said for taking more of that game than a game that involves a team that could score 9 or 10 points.
Okay. I'm looking at Cleveland this week as on the road.
They're home.
Oh, excuse me. So Coleman get the targets. Who's going to be the starter? Then they say that
McCown's going to be
Josh
the starter.
Josh McCown's going to be the starter.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of raises
I like
my
that
interest.
I just put
Coleman in the lineup. Then I'm setting my lineups for this week.
Right.
Or looking at him early to kind of get my waiver thing together. And I put Coleman in the lineup over somebody.
This is a team that scored 9 points against the Steelers, and the Giants are a better defense.
Yeah, that's true, too, but they're going to be playing from behind.
I prefer
they're
going
to be winging it.
Yeah, but
I think it's
they're playing from behind. That could be dangerous for them. That could be more in deception. Fumbles.
I think he's a little bit better. Josh McCown's a little bit better than
I'd probably go with Garcon. It is what it is with 3 Redskins, I think. I think you just go with your best player.
I would go with Sanu for the reason Corey was talking about. Like, they had to put up a lot of points. I mean, they did it last week, obviously, against Green Bay.
Yeah.
They put up a ton of points. Do they do it every week? I don't know. I know the Redskins offense is good.
If Peterson is on Julio, opportunities maybe for Sanu?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So
The one thing I get concerned about with Washington is Dallas dominating time of possession.
Sure. Well, that's how they play.
Yeah.
That's legitimately how they play, though.
Yes.
So
I got Coleman in my lineup over Dontrell Inman.
Yeah, it makes sense. Travis Benjamin practiced yesterday. Should be back this week. That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that bad, y'all. See,
the Houston corners are pretty good, too.
Hey, Houston corners are not bad.
We need Dr. A.
Dr. A will be on the show tomorrow.
Yeah. Tomorrow.
Dr. A will be on the show tomorrow. We'll get some injury updates from him.
Travis Benjamin's huge.
He is. He practiced yesterday, yeah.
No, it's huge because if you look at it, Dontrell Inman's a guy, right? You can put up. It's not a great matchup for San Diego,
right?
This week from an offensive perspective, and if you look at a guy like Inman, does it affect a Benjamin coming back to play? I don't think you play him under any circumstances. So I'm interested to see what Dr. A says because Benjamin's a guy that people had in an offensive through the ball time, but I wouldn't play him at all this week.
The only thing I can look back is when Tyler Lockett had the PCL strain. It took him a few weeks, even though he played, to like get any explosion back. And Benjamin, what has been like two, three weeks now. So comparing it to the Lockett injury, I wouldn't be too confident with Benjamin just yet.
But as you say, every player is different and reacts to injuries differently. And unlike Lockett, I don't believe Lockett missed the game. You said right.
No, he didn't. But
right, so Inman did take a game off and had the bye, so he may be in a better spot than Lockett. Yeah. He rested a little bit, so maybe he didn't push as much as Tyler Lockett did.
Been like 3 weeks now with the injury, I think?
It might have been a little more. We don't know how long he played on it, so we don't really know the full deal there.
I think there's a timeline as to actually when he injured, and I'm going to look at his game log.
All right, sounds good. To me, for you, Corey, with Dontrell Inman, I can't start him either. If Travis Benjamin does play,
I gotta go with Corey Coleman. I mean, I'm in this position because of CJ Procise injury, where this is my second flex. But you know, I'm looking for the targets for the kid. You know what I'm saying? So, am I trying to talk myself into it? Maybe a little bit.
So let me do this then, as I'm going to do it all morning. So you know.
Okay, that's cool.
Corey Coleman or Dante Moncrief?
Dante Moncrief.
So you go Moncrief.
Yeah, I still got to go Moncrief.
Benjamin was injured on October 30th.
Okay. Yeah. So then.
Made that great catch against Denver.
Okay. So October 30th. So then, today's the 22nd, we said, right? Mm-hmm. So that's 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay. So he played one more. He played the next week, then missed the next one,
missed
then had a bye.
Game and then
had a bye.
So. All right. Yeah, so you're right. Yeah, yeah.
So then this week will be that fourth week. And he said it took Lockett like 4 weeks or so. So he could be okay.
Yeah, Lockett didn't miss any time. But
exactly.
Coleman did, but Benjamin did miss a game. Yeah.
And then had the bye as well.
Yeah,
good
points. Yeah.
You know.
Go ahead, Greg. I'm getting ready to.
I understand. So you said you would play Moncrief over Coleman, but you would play Beasley over Moncrief.
Yeah, I play Beasley because Beasley's targets are going to be there. Beasley's targets are going to be there. You figure you get the Josh Norman Dez thing, which is
true.
You know, Josh Norman still kind of plays all over the field.
You know, Josh Norman's penalized more than any player in the NFL.
I did not know that.
Yeah, more penalties.
He's the DeMarcus Cousins of the NFL.
How about that?
Look at that.
No.
Go ahead, Tone.
It really bothers me, these defensive backs, because he's one of them.
Yes.
Joe Hayden's another one. If you just watch those play, like go to a game and just watch them play,
right?
They hold every play.
Yes, they do.
Every single play.
Yeah.
And it bothers the crap out of me. And Ty Law was the same way when he played in New England. These guys are great cornerbacks, but they're not. They just cheat better than everybody else.
That's half the battle. He's cheating better than everybody else.
Well, true. No.
Why do you think Kevin Owens is the champion? Because he cheats better than everybody else.
I think there's a mentality. I think there's a mentality among some defensive backs is hold as much as you can and see what you can get away with.
Right.
And you're going to get flagged for some, but you'll get away with a lot too.
Right.
In my whole life, there's one thing I can never understand. Maybe you guys can help with it. How is Gaylord Perry in the Hall of Fame?
Because he's a cheater.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if your best pitch was illegal, how do they put you in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I don't have an answer.
That's a good
for that.
Point.
I don't have an answer for that. But to your point, Scotty, I think you're right in that everybody, a lot of these quarterbacks do hold as long as they can and get contact, and then in a particular game with a particular referee crew, if they come down hard, they back off a little bit. But the thing that bothers
There's
me
a mentality that they won't see everything. They won't catch everything.
That's true. And what bothers me about Josh Norman here is that he whines after every single holding call.
Oh, yeah.
Every
this week he drew a penalty, threw the ball down.
Yeah, and he was holding it. He was grabbing onto him.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it was a bad call. He literally held onto him.
Right. There are a lot of defense. There's some defensive backs you'll see when they get called. They just, you know, they don't say anything because they know, because they have that mentality. You know, I was going to do it anyway. You know, I guess I got caught this time.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great mentality.
Help me out, fellas.
Yes,
sorry,
sir.
I'm giving myself.
You just talking about yourself again.
Listen, this is about me. What do you think, guys?
Just ignoring our conversation. I mean,
I'm listening to you guys. I'm listening, and I'm following along too. But I got it's winning time. What do you think this week? I know.
I have no idea what you're saying about Josh Norman, but it's winning time.
Brandon LaFell or Bilal Powell?
That's not even the same hemisphere of what we're talking about.
No, I know, but I'm listening to you guys, but this is more important.
You couldn't, like, just wait until I somehow, like...
Because it's his lineup.
I somehow, like, tangentially got to Bilal Powell or Brandon LaFell.
I'm sorry,
you had
Greg.
To just, you just, like, you know what? I'm ignoring everything Greg, Scotty, and Tony are talking
listen,
about.
I'm
and Bilal listen, Powell or Brandon LaFell.
I am every fantasy owner right now. Like, you know what I'm saying?
And you know what we do those fantasy owners? We hang up
you
on them.
Yeah, you hang
we
up
hang
on up those on guys.
Them. Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Y'all.
Corey's gonna go. Well, my options are Sanu, Powell, Washington.
I need to hang up. I'm gonna go outside and call in.
You should do that.
What are you doing after the show, Corey?
Huh?
What are you doing after the show?
After the show?
Yeah.
I got some running around to do.
No, you're hosting another show.
Oh yeah, yeah.
No, I'm saying after the shows though. You can set your lineup then.
But you know me. I'm looking at it now just to make sure. I'm sorry, fellas. I'm back.
Are you sure?
I'm here with you guys. Trust
all right,
me.
All right.
What's your opinion on defensive backs and holding then?
My opinion on defensive backs and holdings? They've been getting.
Wait, when did that come up?
They've been. What the hell are we talking about? They've been doing it and getting away with it. But you got to think, if you're slick enough to get away with it in today's game, the way they watch it and the way they go after it, then I agree with you. If you can get away with it, do it, because the game is geared towards the passing game and the wide receivers. You know what I'm saying? You got to fake. The actual, we talked about it on Out of Bounds a couple of weeks ago, where people are actually, it's a play in the playbook to draw a pass interference.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not right.
All right. When are we going to... Great answer. When we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, we're gonna do my best friend Corey a service. We'll answer Brandon LaFell versus Bilal Powell. We got a lot more to get.
Call 844-FNTSY.
We should do that. Yeah. We also get into Jay Cutler and what Matt Barkley potentially being the starting quarterback means for those guys. We'll do that next here on the Roto Experts. Back here on the Roto Experts, which really should be just be called Set Corey Parsons Lineup. Corey, I don't know why they're laughing at you.
This is not a laughing matter.
Because all these Dante Moncrief questions are just for me.
This is week 12. Yeah. I don't see what the hell is so funny.
Absolutely. So your question, sir, was what?
This week.
It was Brandon LaFell.
Brandon LaFell or Bilal Powell.
I just want to remind you of that.
Oh, and Ryan Fitzpatrick is back, so it's Brandon LaFell.
Correct.
Because you don't get the check down from Bryce Petty to Bilal Powell. So there you go. I kind of worked it out
myself.
That's
all I was going to say.
Yeah, but I've seen Fitzpatrick check down to Powell, too.
Yeah.
But Brandon,
I like Powell.
Wasn't Fitzpatrick the quarterback last year?
Yes, sir.
Didn't Bilal Powell have a ton of catches last year?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
But I think people got excited. About
I remember
Bryce Petty.
It was week four this year. Fitzpatrick was the quarterback, and that was the big game. Like everybody was talking about, pick up Powell because he catches everything.
I think people got excited about Bilal Powell last week, though, because Bryce Petty checked down to him like 1,400 times.
Yeah, he was a check down.
This year too for the same reason when Fitzpatrick was the quarterback.
Well, I think people were. I don't so much.
You don't know what you're going to get from LaFell there in a more prominent role.
Well, he's the guy now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Or will there be a guy in Cincinnati?
Well, they have somebody.
Can Brandon LaFell step forward and
look
and
how
do
many receptions
here?
Are coming out of that lineup right now? You're missing AJ Green and Giovanni Bernard.
Right.
So you got two sets of hands that catch footballs from Andy Dalton coming out that lineup. Brandon LaFell is Brandon LaFell is going to get some targets
this week.
Brandon LaFell
watching his career arc, I'm not confident that he can step up and do it. The only time I've ever seen Brandon LaFell do anything is when he was in New England. It was kind of inconsistent too. Boyd is more unproven. I'd feel more comfortable with Powell because I know he's going to be involved somehow.
I don't agree. I'm going with LaFell because, as you just said, no AJ Green, no Giovanni Bernard. They got to throw to somebody.
Yeah,
opportunity doesn't always lead to production. I'm not confident in the will of LaFell.
What do you think, Tom?
You know, I would actually go with Brandon LaFell, too. I look at this. I don't think it's a great matchup for the Cincinnati Bengals for any stretch of the imagination.
Nope.
And you look at the New England Patriots, their numbers against the running backs are not bad, but it's not the same defense that started the year. And I think they're a little bit distorted. And if I look at one thing, I think he could take advantage of the Patriots linebackers. Yeah. And I like Bilal Powell to have 6 or 7 catches, mm-hmm. right? So if you get 50 yards, 12 points. Brandon LaFell has had so many times when he's disappointed in times.
Yeah, he has.
The Cincinnati offense, you lost two huge players in Bernard and A.J. Green. To think that they have the same results, which weren't great to begin with, I think he's asking a lot.
Yeah, here's another thing about LaFell. He had an opportunity to be a number two guy across from Green and hasn't stepped up and done it. You know, can I have confidence he's going to perform now playing across from Tyler Boyd, you know, instead of Green? And if they ask him to be into that number one, push into that number one role, then he's going to face either A, top corner cover corners, or zones that might swing towards him. I can't have any confidence.
But didn't he get the targets last week? I'm trying to look that up quickly now. He got the targets this past week.
Yes. And what were his numbers?
I get it.
I'm looking for the opportunity, Scott. He's going to have an opportunity with all of those receptions coming out of that thing. Now, to Tony's point also, you got to figure the Jets playing from behind. And they're going to have, you know, there's going to be some check down options for Bilal Powell in that contest also. So, but the Ravens pass defense sucks.
The Ravens have a dichotomy going on. They were like fifth ranked going into last week, but allow a lot of big plays. To me, Brandon LaFell is not a big play guy.
So basically, what the Ravens defense has done is they allowed 17 touchdown passes, which puts them way down.
Yep.
But they've only led 122 receptions, which is right there at the top of the league. And a yardage is only 1565 to wide receivers, which is right there at the top of the league. So they're letting up huge plays.
So I get that opportunity doesn't always create production, as Scott likes to say the cliche constantly, mm-hmm. right? But the fact is, AJ, this opportunity is bigger than just a wide receiver, like the wide receiver in front of him going out, right? Like, you lost A.J. Green and Giovanni Bernard. That's two major guys in this offense. Andy Dalton, they're going to continue to throw the ball. And maybe that makes you like Tyler Eifert more, fine. Maybe that makes you like Tyler Boyd more, fine. But I think we have to say that we're going to like Brandon LaFell a lot more. And Brandon LaFell was somebody that we've talked about previously, guys, that was on the radar that we said should be on our bench.
Right,
well, you can say you like him a lot more. I don't know. There's nothing to show me that this guy can step up and do it.
1 second. So then on Cincinnati, okay?
Yeah.
Scotty, no A.J. Green, right?
Right.
No Giovanni Bernard, right? So who is going to see the increase in production here? Somebody has to.
I'd be more confident in Tyler Boyd.
Okay.
I'd see Eifert get more involved in the offensive flow.
Okay.
But maybe they run the ball more. The thing is, though, is that without A.J. Green and Giovanni Bernard, this offense has the look now. I don't think I can assume that there's going to be a boost in production when you have less talented guys stepping forward. That can mean a backslide in production overall.
They're not going to be able to run the football against the Ravens.
It's already been proven.
So they can't
run the
football.
Do we even know without Gio and A.J. Green that they can do much of anything at all offensively?
They're not going to score zero, Scott.
They're not going to score zero.
I wouldn't throw that out the window. Did you see the pass ball against the Giants? I mean, the Giants' defensive line was in their backfield the whole game.
Sure. Absolutely. Totally agree, Tony. But I think that I don't think Cincinnati's going to go 3-and-out all game, is what I'm trying to say. They're going to, like you just pointed out, Tony, they do allow a ton of receptions. They do allow a ton of yards to wide receivers. So the production is going to be there. I just don't think this offense is going to just quit because A.J. Green and Giovanni Bernard aren't there.
And that's what I'm
and if you like Tyler Boyd more, Scotty, totally fine.
Yeah.
Not arguing that at all.
I'm more confident that he can run with the opportunity.
How come? Just because you think
because
he's more
Brandon
talented?
LaFell already had an opportunity to show that he can be the number two guy ahead of next
but
AJ
he's
Green.
Been the number
and
two
he,
guy.
And, no, and he hasn't done anything with it. Why should I think that now they're going to ask him a more prominent role? He can step up even earlier in his career when Cam Newton had nobody to throw to. LaFell didn't do anything and got cut by Carolina. The only time I've ever seen him do anything was for 1 year in New England, and the following year he got hurt, and then he came back and he didn't do anything again.
Okay, so you're looking at his career of being an underachiever, and I get where you're coming from on that.
And this year,
it sounds kind of personal, you know what
I'm saying? It's not personal because I never owned the guy.
Yeah, but now with that being said, look at the opportunity, Scott. Brandon LaFell or Dante Moncrief?
Dante Moncrief.
I would also go Dante Moncrief.
And me too. Right. That was a reach.
Yes.
I don't know.
Brandon LaFell or Corey Coleman?
Corey Coleman.
Okay.
Corey Coleman over Brandon LaFell.
I just answered that.
He did.
Yes.
With Terrell Pryor. It's nobody out in that offense.
I feel Coleman's got more upside.
Wow. Interesting. Coleman's
a unpainted Powell.
I'm telling you, I'm coming in here next week, and if Bilal Powell give me a 6, and Brandon LaFell have 3 touchdowns, I'm going to be very upset with y'all.
I'm do your own lineup after the show.
What you say, Tom?
The Bengals won't have 3. The Bengals won't have 3 touchdowns. I'm convinced of that.
Rest of the year or this week?
this week. I'm going to stick with this week.
This could become a putrid offense. I don't think we can rule that out.
I totally agree. Would you take eight? That's the thing people forget. Like, people always think this stuff. Greg, this happens in DFS basketball all the time. There's a reason sometimes these are $3,000 players.
Sure.
And when these guys step into AJ Green's, no way it's going to happen. And then you take Bernard out, too. That offense is going to suffer. And those touchdowns he were getting, he's not going to get because they're not going to move the ball down the field.
And that's totally true. You saw Alan Williams last night, for instance, Scott, Tony.
Yeah.
Phoenix.
Foul trouble there. Killed him. Yeah. He still averaged 6. He got 16 fantasy points, I think, in 18 minutes.
Who has more receptions on the season? Bilal Powell or Darren Sproles?
I would guess Sproles, but probably Powell or something.
Bilal Powell.
Yeah, I saw that coming.
It's Corey Lyon.
When we come back, more headlines. Maybe we'll get the Jay Cutler. Who knows? We'll see.
Who cares?
To the Roto Experts in the morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And remember, tonight, if you're not getting enough with the King, you can get plenty more because the King chats live with you inside the exclusive Edge package at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Use free radio when you check out, and you'll get the exclusive Edge package for the rest of the season for under $10.
They get Mike Florio's Waiver Wire article.
How about that? I read that.
Jake Seeley's Waiver Wire breakdown and the latest from Michael Waterloo as well.
Yeah, you got a whole ton of information. Playoff push is coming. Corey needs our help. You do too.
I was about to say, what happened? What do you think? What do you guys think about calling? Now let me stop.
That was funny. So Jay Cutler, guys, kind of not out of nowhere. We saw the hit on Sunday, but Jay Cutler made season-ending surgery, also known as John Fox, get your ass on the bench because you suck, which means they might go with Matt Barkley going forward. This is, as the phrase has been overused, but I'll say it anyway, bit of a dumpster fire this year for Chicago. Now no Jay Cutler potentially, no Alshon Jeffrey, no Zach Miller. Do you want to own anybody in Chicago, Scotty? Besides Jordan Howard?
Let's see. Not right now, no. It's like maybe I'll cut Cameron Meredith now. Because yeah. I've seen Matt Barkley, and he looks bad. I don't even know why he's in the NFL.
Tony?
No, there's no one to own. Not even the kicker, right? You can't even.
No, I don't want to own Connor Barth.
Are they going to get in field goal range? No. I'm not sure.
No, it's not good.
Yeah, so even my man Eddie Royal, Corey, it's not going to work.
Nah, it's a bad situation going down right now for the Chicago Bears. I think you put them in a list of teams that you play the defense against them.
Yeah, you might run them to the top, maybe.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah. Matt Barkley is a real, really, really, like, not prepared to be the quarterback in the NFL.
No, he's not.
He had a better chance with Charles Barkley.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He ran Barkley.
That's a good point.
The blade.
Ivan Barkley. Old beat-up boxes.
You mentioned here Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles a moment ago. Darren Sproles, in relation to Bilal Powell, has more receptions on the year. Now, Sproles is day-to-day with a rib injury that beat reporters seem to think he can play through.
Yeah.
Ryan Matthews is day-to-day with that knee injury. We know Ryan Matthews, when he's not healthy, he's quite ineffective.
No. Ryan Matthews would probably be down.
We're going to get to the waiver wire in just a moment with Wendell Smallwood. But, Tony, I'll start with you here. Ryan Matthews being day-to-day means he's probably not going to play, right?
You think that on most occasions. Yeah, absolutely. I'd feel better on Wednesday knowing that.
No doubt.
For now, he won't play.
All right. Darren Sproles, will he play?
I think inside injuries was talking on rotoexperts.com. It depends whether it's a bruise or a fracture.
Okay.
If it's a bruise, he'll play. If it's a fracture, he probably won't.
Yeah, I even read where if it's a fracture, they could put like some kind of jacket on him or something like that.
Yeah, on his flapjacket.
Yeah, but yeah. He don't need to be running like that.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. The jacket might be bigger
sit
than
out.
He is, though. That's
yeah,
the
that's
thing,
what I'm saying.
Know?
He needs to sit down and get and be healthy this week.
Although Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles may not play their day-to-day, Tevin Coleman practiced, and after a month here, he should be good to go. Now, of course, the Bills don't even give LeSean McCoy a week with a hamstring. Falcons made sure Tevin Coleman got healthy, and it looks like he's ready to play.
Yeah.
Tony, given that Coleman's been out for so long, and he really should be healthy, and he's practicing that first day after the bye, do you feel comfortable starting Tevin Coleman this week?
Yeah, I do. I just don't think there's enough running backs in the National Football League that could put up double-digit points in this offense. You made a great point on Julio Jones with Peterson. I don't think anyone could stop Julio Jones, and I wouldn't suggest that by any stretch of the imagination. But say he's limited four or five catches, or they change the game plan and feature the running backs in this one, I think it's a great opportunity for him to step in and get double-digit fantasy points.
He's beat up on Peterson before.
Tevin Coleman's
been? Oh, yeah.
No, Julio. I mean,
Julio has.
He's about, he's about 7 inches taller. He should
Exactly. Yeah. He's like, I think it was Peterson. I remember it was last year, 2 years ago, Peterson was talking trash, and Julio went in there and dropped a hammer on him. So it's kind of like, you know, this is Julio Jones' I don't want to say he's matchup proof, but I'm not. I'm not worried about
starting
Julio
no
Jones.
Matter what.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think, and I don't downgrade
what
him
fantasy
either.
Players do, though, is, you know, we know we'll get the questions, are you worried about Julio this week? They always assume that, you know, when a top defensive player goes against a top offensive player, they assume that the defensive player is going to win the matchup and, you know, keep the upside of the offensive player down. It doesn't always happen that way.
Yep. So, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, no, it is. You're right, Corey. All I was going to say is, to Tony's point, I never want to really play guys coming off the injuries, but I actually feel the Falcons just really handled Tevin Coleman so right that I do feel confident putting him out there this weekend. And I'm never optimistic. You guys know this about me when it comes to these injuries, but I felt like the Falcons handled this right. And let's not forget, when Tevin Coleman was down, I mean, nobody got more yards after the catch than Tevin Coleman. Nobody was able to get in space like him from the running back position. And this is an equal time share, and I don't even think this is bad for Devontae Freeman.
No, it's not.
I think Freeman is going to be able to stay fresh now, and he still has his role. It's not like he's losing his job at all. I just think it's a good spot for the Falcons in general to get better.
Yeah, Coleman, you know, got hurt last year in his rookie year, too, so that's something you got to remember going forward with Coleman. But he's different than Devontae Freeman is that he is a dangerous pass-catching back. And, you know, the Falcons are going to be very, very focused. The Cardinals are going to be very focused on Julio. You know, that allows for a guy like Coleman to slip underneath or even go downfield and do a lot of damage. I think people underrate just how dangerous Coleman is as a pass receiver.
You still think even today they underrated because he's been very, very good all year when he was healthy?
I think he has, but I don't hear enough talk about how dangerous this guy is as a pass catcher. You know, it's always like, which one is going to do better? You know, it's like they could both do good because they have different skill sets, I think.
Yeah, no, totally. And I think we kind of established that earlier in the year that they're both going to be good because they both have these roles. And both being there is fine for both of them. I know, Corey, you were, as a Devontae Freeman owner, you weren't upset by this Tevin Coleman injury.
No.
But I know right now you're not upset him coming back either.
No, it doesn't really make me a difference. As a piece to get back in offense, Tevin Coleman owners should definitely be happy. I don't think it does anything to Devontae Freeman's value. So the matchup is, I'm about to say it's tough this week, but I think Arizona's on the verge of quitting. So I really feel as if Atlanta should be able to go in there and get a nice win and put up some good numbers.
Going back to the Jets here now for a moment, I spoke about Bilal Powell. We've said Ryan Fitzpatrick again, the starter here for New York, which, Tony, it has to be good news, much like in Cleveland, Josh McCown. It has to be good news to Brandon Marshall and Quincy Enunwa, right? Like, we talked about Quincy Enunwa last week with Bryce Petty. Like, he should have been on waiver wires. With Ryan Fitzpatrick back as the starter for New York, should Enunwa be picked back up?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I guess the New England Patriots, too, they're going to put up some points. So he's a guy you have to think that's going to get targeted, you know, 8 to 10 times in a contest. of this magnitude. The second cornerback for the New England Patriots has been a place you could target. So I think it's a great opportunity for actually Quincy Enunwa.
Would you rather start Quincy Enunwa or Kenny Britt this week?
Oh, that's a great Quincy Enunwa.
Yeah. And can we assume, though, and I'm just throwing this out here,
sure,
this is good news for Brandon Marshall.
Yeah.
Look at his last few games with Fitzpatrick at quarterback.
Okay.
5 for 46, 4 for 68, 3 for 39, 3 for 70. He didn't score a touchdown in any of those games.
So I think it's good news in that it's
Marshall's
not Bryce.
Marshall's been disappointed.
No question about that. It's good news that it's not Bryce Petty anymore, right? Like, I think it would even be worse.
All right, I would say, you know, is it good news?
Yes.
Well, it's not the end of the world is the way I would phrase
it. If Bryce Petty was a quarterback, it's the end of the world is what you're saying?
Yeah, probably. End of the fantasy world. Yeah.
Yeah, Bryce Petty would be very, very bad for Brandon Marshall's value core.
You don't bench Brandon. He's not an automatic bench, you know, now, so.
Would you start him this week?
That always comes with a caveat of who else you have, but I think he's borderline start this week.
Would you rather start him or Dante Moncrief?
I'd probably go him over Moncrief.
Okay. So, at that borderline, then.
Yeah. But both of them are borderline guys to me this week.
Okay. So, the good news, as we said, about A.J. Green, he's not going to be out for the season, which was kind of comes as a surprise, given that how he was taken out on Sunday.
Ride.
Took
yep.
a cart ride. But it looks like he's only missed a couple of weeks. Of course, given that the Bengals are basically out of it, they're going to be very, very cautious with their superstar.
Yeah, there's no reason to rush him back into action. Superstar player like A.J. Green, his you may need him to get into your playoffs. I'm sorry if you do. I don't think he plays this week, and I probably think he gets at least – well, he won't play this.
He's not going to play until he's healthy.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not going to speculate. We'll have Dr. A on tomorrow to get some deeper insights into that. So, you know, now you play the game with Tyler Boyd and with Brandon LaFell. Tyler Eifert is owned everywhere. This, you know, as we had that powwow and we talked about it and kind of worked through it.
Yeah.
I kind of see what you guys are saying. Like, the offense is just so decimated right now that it's like none of these guys really have a ton of value.
So you out on Brandon LaFell, is what you're trying to tell us?
You guys talked me out of Brandon
LaFell. What do you mean, you guys? Tony and I said start Brandon LaFell. So Scotty told you out of
Brandon. No, Tony said Powell.
No. Tony said I would take Powell, too.
Yeah.
Oh, you did LaFell, Tony.
No. That offense, you can't lose two superstars and think that the same offensive production is going to be there. And Bilal Powell against the New England Patriots, their defense is taking a hit with Collins not being there. Their secondary
they lost
terrible.
Branch yesterday, too.
The Patriots defense can definitely let up some points. They'll still win the game, but they'll let up some points.
Mm. It's all right. So, not listening to your best friend here, huh?
Yeah, no, we got it. So far, so good.
Who have the Patriots lost? They lost Collins. They lost Branch. Who else have they lost, Tony?
I know Dante Hightower hasn't played well. Didn't he get benched?
No, he got burnt in that game the other night against San Francisco.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell is going on here? But they're not playing that well. It's going to be interesting if they could play a good offense.
It sure sounds like, Tony, that this Jamie Collins trade was just a disaster.
Well, he was a little crazy.
Yeah, but he was good.
Well, he was good. I guess the last game, though, he was running his own plays. He had his own defensive calls.
Well, they worked.
And during practice, he shows up with plastic bags over his fingers to protect his manicure.
Well, yeah, he wanted to make sure his fingers didn't get ruined. I understand that.
He definitely would have been out of town too
next year. Okay, so Ronnie Hillman, your boy Scotty, gets cut, and that doesn't
not
really,
my boy.
That really doesn't come as a surprise.
That's the boy of the moderator of Out of Bounds.
And that really doesn't come as a surprise because Jerick McKinnon saw a strong majority of touches. We'll get into the snap counts later on in the show. But Jerick McKinnon saw a strong majority here of the touches. I know nobody likes Jerick McKinnon. People only like Matt Asiata, who can fall into the end zone.
That's it.
But Scotty, given what we saw from McKinnon, given that he faces Detroit, given that the carries, given that there's only two guys there now, do you like Jerick McKinnon on Thursday?
No.
Okay.
honesty.
It's like, has Hillman really been relevant? No.
So. Well, he's just had snaps. Now he doesn't have snaps.
He's had a few snaps, but McKinnon had that one good game against the Giants where people kind of got excited.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He really hasn't shown anything.
All right, so you're out here.
Yeah, the line doesn't block for anybody either.
Last week, one of the things we talked about, guys, was everybody in our leagues, and I shouldn't say our, I'll say my leagues, jumping on these injured guys to return.
Mm-hmm.
Another week, same optimism. Adrian Peterson could come back as early as week 15. Amir Abdullah could come back as early as week 14.
Oh.
Sammy Watkins could come back as early as this week. Corey, what do you make of this?
I think, don't touch, I wouldn't fool with Amir Abdullah.
Yeah, he's not going to save my season.
Yeah. No. But when you have the courage to play a Detroit Lion running back not named Theo Reddick, you got that's very ballsy.
Yes. Now the Watkins, the courage of a lion.
Yes, the Watkins thing. I'm a guy who cut Watkins.
Yep.
I wish I didn't.
You're regretting it.
I regret cutting Watkins. I think I wouldn't play him this week in week 12.
Right.
But maybe you take 12 and 13. The Bills' offense is playing better.
Right.
You see how that piece looks if you're going to the playoffs, and you. I say 12 and 13 to see what it looks like, and then roll him out there 14, 15, and 16.
I still don't care about I'm still out on Sammy Watkins. I don't think he had anything to regret, personally.
Really?
I agree with
Greg, because the one thing that came out was Rex Ryan's always the most optimistic guy in the world.
Correct.
And he was talking about in week 12, yeah, we'll see him out there for a few plays. Like, they're not convinced this guy's ready to play.
No.
They've already put him out there twice when he wasn't ready to play. And they don't think he's ready this time.
Yep.
Yeah, Dr. A came on, with, I think it was a week or two ago, with me and Tony and Joe, and he was saying, you know, Ryan is the guy who, you know, he's more over-optimistic on the injuries and pushes his guys out there maybe when they're not ready.
Okay. It's still Sammy Watkins. And the Bills' offense still looked the best as it's looked in years.
Yeah, no, and I get that.
He's got one leg.
That's the problem.
They didn't look too good last week, though. The inconsistency, but if
they didn't have anybody, though. They lost Robert Woods in the first quarter.
Nobody was left. Yeah.
So, all right. So I know, Corey, you're out on Amir Abdullah. Scotty,
no, I'm not fooling.
Are you going to try to buy back into this Amir Abdullah thing?
Well, do we have NFC only leagues? Because, like, baseball, otherwise, I'm not.
Tony.
No. They can't run the ball either.
All right. So what about Adrian Peterson? Is anyone thinking that he could come back in week 15 and win you a championship?
Wouldn't shock me.
So you like AP?
Look, it's Adrian Peterson. I'll take a flyer on it just in case he comes back a week 15 or my 16 of my Super Bowl.
And you will play
Why
him?
Not?
You would have the courage to play him in week 15.
His first 16. Game back.
No, what I'm hoping is I'll come back week 15. I scout him. If he looks good, I play him in week 16.
Wow, that's ballsy right there, Scott.
Yeah. With Adrian Peterson.
With everything on the line, though, Adrian Peterson is second.
If he
and
comes
at the
back,
end of the season, might be his last game as a Minnesota Viking.
If he comes back and looks anywhere halfway decent in week 15, how can I bench him?
Okay.
It's Adrian Peterson. Unless, you know, I got like Ezekiel Elliott and DeMarco Murray.
It's a situation I want to avoid. That's why I leave these injured players on the bench, because I can't make up my mind between Bilal Powell and Brandon LaFell. If I had Adrian Peterson on my bench, I'd be going crazy.
Executive stress.
Adrian Peterson, before he went out, averaged 1.6 yards a carry. I'm not going to play him. Jared McKinnon, 2.9 yards a carry. This offensive line is terrible.
Mm. I agree with you. I have no interest in Adrian Peterson whatsoever. None.
I'm going to take the flyer.
Have fun with that. Hey, when we come back, let's talk some waiver wire for week number 11. It's time to do it. So get in the game.
Do it.
We will do it. Next, you're on the Roto Experts. Returning here, Roto Experts in the Morning. Sports Radio Network, 844-36879-844-84-FNTSY. Let's do it on a Waiver Wire Tuesday here, gentlemen.
Tuesday.
You like that? You like Tuesday, Scott?
Yeah.
All right, you like Tuesday. Well, what makes Tuesdays a good day for you?
Here, hang it up. It's cool.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Waiver Wire running backs. I want to start with Wendell Smallwood, your guy. Your guy, Wendell Smallwood. Mm-hmm. You've been on him since August.
Yeah.
He's been the guy.
Maybe July.
You've been using his name. You said his name a lot since August.
He did.
Scott.
He did. 100%. How much are you spending? This is the moment you've been waiting for. Ryan Matthews is hurt, injured. Darren Sproles is banged up. This is the moment you've been waiting for. It is week 12. Can't take Fab to the strip club. How much are you spending on Wendell Smallwood?
$35.
30?
Out of what? Out of 100?
Same, yeah. Of 100, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No problem.
Because I don't have 100 left, probably.
No, probably not.
I probably got about 47 left, so I'm going to spend 35. Leave a few just for the playoffs in case I need it.
So that's more than that's more than 50% of your budget you're willing to put on Smallwood at this point.
Yeah.
This is the moment you've been waiting for. You think Smallwood's going to take this job, run with it, and be a guy that can help you win a championship.
You know who his matchup is?
His matchup is
the Green Bay Packers.
The Green Bay Packers. Yes. Good spot. Yes.
This is a key week. Key week. Got to go heavy.
Not really.
Not really what?
Not really a good spot.
Oh, Green Bay Packers defense has been pretty – you're right. The Green Bay Packers rush team is actually pretty good for most of the year. You're right.
Did talk about early about who they faced, though.
And then they've quit.
You think that – no, this is a weird game because here's what happens on paper, right? On paper, the Packers' secondary is brutal. But you don't want Carson Wentz throwing the ball 40 times. Yeah. And what receiver would you feel confident? So you look at the running game. The last two games, they let up tons of yards to the Washington Redskins and Tennessee Titans. One good running team in Tennessee. Washington was skeptical. They had a Kelly. They let up a big game against Dallas. So Green Bay's let up yards on the ground against teams with decent running games. But the way to beat them is through the air. What does Philly do in this situation? Me, it sets up perfectly if Sproles was healthy. He's the guy that's going to be on the field the most in that game.
And this is exactly why I do like Smallwood, because of what Tony's pointing to is not looking just Smallwood as a pure runner. When they drafted this kid, they liked his versatility as a pass catcher. They can't trust the wide receivers. They might flare it out to Smallwood out of the backfield, too. You know, it could be a nice 5-for-50 passing line, and, you know, I could get a pretty good floor out of it.
What if Sproles plays?
I still think they might throw a few passes to him. I think it'll certainly cut into it. But I think he's got some versatility. Wouldn't you rather throw to Sproles and Smallwood than Aguilar and Green Beckham? I would.
I would too.
There's potential here. There's potential.
No, there's definitely potential. Corey, how much are you spending on Wendell Smallwood?
Week 12. If Wendell Smallwood's on my waiver wire, the matchup he has this week, it all depends on what position you're in. If you're in a must-win and running back is your biggest area of concern, empty.
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 Wendell Smallwood's everything.
Empty.
Tony?
It's a one-week season.
I agree that you can make a bold move at this point. I would probably stick to about 40%. I'm not in love with that Philadelphia situation, how it'll go. If Ryan Matthews was out of the game completely and didn't play, but if he dresses, who knows what's going to happen. I would only go 40%.
I kind of agree with you. I'm more on the Tony side of things here with that number. I just don't know. I own Ryan Matthews in the league, and for most of this year, I owned Wendell Smallwood. I actually traded Cole Beasley away earlier in the year.
For
Smallwood.
When he had that big game in like week 4 or 5?
No. After that, actually. Okay. Basically, so I wasn't starting Cole Beasley in a week, or 1 week. Then Dallas had their bye, and then Dez was back after the bye. So okay. I thought Cole Beasley's value was at a high.
Okay.
And Ryan Matthews was already banged up, and Smallwood, there was a committee. I was like, you know what, let me just get in on this here. So I traded away Cole Beasley for Wendell Smallwood. And then, like, Wendell Smallwood sucked, and Ryan Matthews got his jab back. And I was like, you know what? I'm not holding on to this guy, because even if they get injured, I don't necessarily want to buy this Philly backfield. Like, I don't trust it at all. So I lean more to this Tony side of things. I still don't trust the backfield. I really don't.
I see what both of you are saying, but you got a team that's struggling mightily right now.
In Philadelphia.
Well, both of them. Philadelphia's back is against the wall, and they got to keep pace in the East.
Right.
Well, Green Bay...
try to get a wild card.
Absolutely. They got it wins.
Green Bay look like they've quit. Yeah. So I'm thinking that they're like, okay, let's just hurry up and get this season over with.
That's sad. Very sad.
It's not that sad. It's whatever. you know what they got to do? I know everyone said how Mike McCarthy is safe. They got to fire Mike McCarthy.
Yeah. I agree with you.
This is now, you can make all the excuses you want. This is now 2 years in a row. This has been a joke. And I know that they went in the playoffs and they had this Hail Mary and they wound up losing in overtime to Arizona. I get it. But this team should be better. Injuries, Aaron Rodgers is a dick. I get all of this. I think Mike McCarthy should be fired.
I think they're going to have a conversation about that at some point this year.
I'm sorry. In the offseason. I'm sorry.
I think they're going to have that conversation.
Why wouldn't they just fire the defensive coordinator?
They should.
I mean, their offense actually
looks good. Isn't it Dom Capers?
Yes, they should fire Dom Capers. Yeah, the longest tenured defensive coordinator in the NFL.
Maybe the game's passed.
They need to shake up. They need to shake something up in there. And I think the head coach, I think you cut the head off. So I think
cut the head off to Snake, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's McCarthy.
Christmas season, you guys want to fire people.
That's so tough, you know what I'm saying?
I didn't say fire him during Christmas season. Fire him after Christmas.
Yeah. Before Christmas.
Right. Yeah. After Christmas.
Get a new job for the holidays.
Black Monday. They fire him on Black Monday.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. It had to be after this holiday season.
Yeah.
You know,
Black Monday, what's that, Martin Luther King Day?
No, that's not Martin Luther King Day, Tony. That's the day of doom.
Black Monday?
That's the day of doom. Some people associate black with doom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
that's kind of why they call it Black Monday.
So we got Black Monday, but Black Friday is a good thing.
Yeah,
people like Black Friday.
So that's not it's a day of doom if you're trying to get out into that, shopping and stuff like that.
I'll tell you a quick story about Black Friday.
Uh huh.
So I was pretty young, like seventh grade or so. My sister was in fifth grade, maybe a little older than that. We're having dinner. And we're at an Italian restaurant with my parents, and we're sitting there. We're eating, and I go to my mom or my dad, my sister, and I was like, "Hey, you guys buy anything for Black Friday? Like, what's the plan for this week? It's Thanksgiving week, Corey,
Yeah.
So my sister goes, "Shh!" I'm like, what is going on? And she looks around, behind her, to her left, to her right. She goes, "You guys can't say Black Friday. It's African American Friday."
How old was she?
She wasn't as young as she should have been. And we're all like, I will never let her. She's 26 now. I will never let her forget that moment.
Yeah, that's at 26.
She's trying. Oh, okay. She's 26 now.
Okay.
I would never be. I know she was trying to be politically correct in every way.
Yeah, but still, that was way over the top.
That was a good one. So, how are you guys, Scotty? Are you buying anything on African American Friday this Friday?
I usually avoid it.
No, you don't. Yeah. What about Cyber Monday?
It's too crazy.
You know, Cyber Monday.
A bit better Cyber Monday because I don't like all the crowds at the stores. It's just ridiculous. I don't like fighting with people. It's like the best thing about Black Friday is all those Walmart videos that come out of like people fighting each other.
You like those?
Yeah, those are funny.
Tony, you're the one with Tony Corey. You guys both have relatively young kids. Mm-hmm. What's the go-to present this year?
My son is getting older now, where it'd probably be some kind of overly expensive tennis shoes.
Tennis shoes?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Not like an Xbox game or something?
No, he got an Xbox. He just got an Xbox over the summer when he had his job.
Right.
So he was able to purchase that for himself, so that's good for him.
Can you just buy him games?
He's the type of he'll get some bread for. I don't know where how he's getting the money to buy these games. Hopefully he's not selling nickel bags in the bathroom. But
what's funny about that?
You gotta make sure your son's not doing
that. Well, yeah,
playing daily.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that? I wonder that every once in a while about my 16-year-old. Like, not the whole dime, but where do they get the money? Like, I didn't give it to them. Where do they get the money?
Well, you also have, there's mothers here in the picture.
Yeah, so you have that, and then, whatever. My son don't spend a dime, you know what I'm saying?
Mother never gave me any money.
Yeah, me either, Tony.
Your son's a good kid, Corey.
He'll have money for, months and months on end.
You know, birthdays and get checks
Yeah, exactly, stuff like that. So he'll hold on to that stuff. But so him and it'll probably be like he's almost an adult male, so I'm not really worried about him. My daughter, I haven't got her list yet. She's still kind of like she doesn't know.
Does she still believe in Santa?
She's a Santa Claus person. Yeah, my daughter is six.
All right, so she's still a Santa Claus person. Tony, what's the big present for your kids this year?
My youngest son's getting WrestleMania tickets. That's the big thing.
How about your older co-host? How about that? Can he hear WrestleMania tickets?
My oldest daughter's getting a 3-day ticket to the it's a Daytona Country Music Contest where they it's 3 days there and concert. Everybody in the world is there. Blake Shelton, Miranda Lambert, everybody's there. So we go there for 3 days and hang out at Daytona. And then my son wants a gaming computer, so that he gets it. So all three of those are
done.
Yeah,
my son's got one of those, the gaming computers, so he can play on Steam and all of that. Yeah,
Scott, what's the biggest? What's the biggest gift on the market right now, though?
I don't know.
Oh, you're supposed to nail that one, Scott. You're supposed to say the Roto Experts exclusive edge, man.
How do you miss that? How do you miss that? Ring that bell.
I tried to give you the assist, Scotty.
I thought you were being serious.
No, he was.
Yeah, well, the exclusive edge fantasy football package for your playoff push right now. It's a great stocking stuffer, you know, because it's under $10 if you use free radio.
There you go. Under $10, that means you can do it for Secret Santa.
You can do that for Secret Santa. It's true. I feel like the moment passed him by, though.
Yeah, Scott. I gave it to you right underneath the basket.
I don't expect it from you. I would have expected it from Greg. Greg would have leaned over and, like, looked me in the face.
I would have just stared at him until he knew it.
At him and said, what's the most obvious gift Greg would have said to me?
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll try to stuff your stocking.
Wait a minute. What's the most obvious gift for Jake Steely, though?
Oh, boy.
No. NFL.com premium.
Oh, NFL.com has premium?
Yeah.
Like
the premium commissioner.
Let's, no, that, it wasn't Tony. It was not Tony, Danny.
That was
Scotty.
That was the king.
Scotty, that's a jumping jack for Scotty. All right. When we come back here on the Roto Experts in the morning, we try to stuff your stockings with some more running backs, not named Wendell Smallwood. We only got to one in 15 minutes there. We'll get to some more when we come back here on the Roto Experts. Back on the Roto Experts in the morning, Tony. I was just noticing that I've lost too many daily games in a row here. I got to pick it back up today.
Yeah, tonight only a 4-game slate in the National Basketball Association. I've spent a good 2 hours trying to put Russell Westbrook in a fantasy tournament lineup tonight. Last night I put up a 260, came up 20 points short, and I was pissed off about it because I had Antetokounmpo at 70 damn fantasy points and Hassan Whiteside, and the rest of my team didn't deliver. So I had guys that put up the big points.
I put up 285 and didn't cash.
Yeah, it's a bad night.
It's frustrating, man. It's frustrating. Wow, Russell Westbrook against the Lakers? That seems incredible. I didn't even know this.
Yeah, thing. Like I said, I said in the DFS today, you never want to project a triple-double for any player. Like, that's great. But how do you not in this game?
I don't know.
Alphabet had a triple-double last night.
That's what Tony was just saying.
Blake Griffin nearly got there, too.
Yeah, we'll talk about basketball coming up next hour. Let's get back to the waiver wire, guys, though. I spoke about Wendell Smallwood, and besides him, Tony, do you have any interest in Kenjon Barner?
I don't. I think that's one of the situations, too. If you have a waiver wire as opposed to fab bidding, and I had a backup quarterback, and I'm in week 12, and there's no bye weeks, I would probably put him on my roster because you never, like, one or two injuries, and then he could fall into a situation for week 13. So that's the only play I would make with a guy like Barner.
Yeah, you know, it all depends on Sproles. Like, I need more information on Sproles. That was the only reason I had Barner. But as Tony always likes to say, especially this time of the year, why am I picking up people I have no interest in playing? Corey, that's kind of where Kenjon Barner fits. I don't ever want to play that guy.
Yeah, if you got Kenjon Barner in your lineup this time of year, I think you might be waving the white flag. I think as we get more information,
we can't say that. It's the Caucasian flag.
That was funny, Scotty.
That was a good one, Scotty.
You
kind
of
threw me. You kind of threw me
share
off. Thought,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You don't expect those good ones from Scotty.
No, but Kenyon Barner.
You don't ever expect them from Sussman.
You're waving the white flag if you're throwing Kenyon Barner in your lineup. So. There goes that. So, dollar make you holler if you are invested in that Eagle backfield in some kind of Ryan Matthews, Wendell Smallwood type situation. But if you're not, I think it's a situation you want to leave alone. If you're not in bed with the Eagles backfield, don't even get in there with them now.
I can't see Barna being fantasy relevant at all.
They got to clap.
What? What?
The Eagles backfield got to clap.
I legitimately have no idea how you just got that.
I said you don't want to get in bed with the Eagles backfield. They got to clap.
Right. Washington has VD.
They do have VD. It's true.
There you go.
Rex Burkhead. Giovanni Bernard is out. I know Burkhead's more of the fullback type, but he just catch passes out of the backfield. Everyone's kind of thinking Jeremy Hill's going to get more work. Scotty, can I interest you in Rex Burkhead?
Not really. Only in a very super deep league.
Donovan McYalla?
Nah.
Not even a Donovan McYalla.
Yeah, I'll keep my dollar. Wait,
now, isn't a Donovan McYalla? Like the challah?
H-O-L-L-A.
Dollar making challah bread.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
No, okay, let me jump in right here on Burkhead. Same situation.
Yeah.
Handcuffed to Jeremy Hill.
Right.
Can catch the football out the backfield. That's part of his skill set. You have to be in a deep league, not a 10-team league. A 12-team league with 22 roster spots. No, let me stop. A 12-team league, a handcuff.
Scott Fishbowl type league.
12-team league, handcuff. If you have to play him, cross your fingers. If you're not, if you don't have Jeremy Hill, should you still be interested? A dollar.
Yeah, I would say he's the handcuff. Again, we talked about this time of year. You want to have the handcuffs to your starters.
Yeah. See, the thing about it is their offense is so banged up and beat up. That like it's like kind of like what you guys kind of convinced me of earlier. That it's like, really, do you want to roster anybody on this team? So if you have a situation where you got to, if you got a situation where you got to play Burkhead, well, you're in real bad shape.
I'd take a flyer on Boyd though.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah,
I got Tyler Eifert on my bench. Like I'm just like leaving him.
Who's your starting tight end?
I got Travis Kelce.
He's got Travis Kelce.
Much as you hate Kelce, though, it's like, I wonder, would I start Eifert, though? It's not a slam dunk that I would bench Eifert.
I don't think you can. I agree with Sky. I don't, it's very hard to do that.
Yeah.
Don't do this.
I mean, you're not going to sleep with either of these tight ends.
I feel like Eifert's got better touchdown possibilities.
Please don't do this, y'all, because then I'm going to have to be wrestling with this all week. It's too much for me.
No, but I think you have to. I mean, Scotty's right. When it comes to Tyler Eifert. And Tony, too, I think,
Don't you hate Kelce frustrate the heck out of you?
Well, guess what he was last week in week 11? He was on my bench
with
17 points. Guess who's in my lineup?
Travis Kelce.
Tyler Eifert.
Yeah.
With that's two points. Kelce's in your lineup now. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's a game of attrition.
Never know with tight ends. Look at Jack Doyle last week. One catch, 7 yards, right?
Jared
Cook all of a sudden looking like Jimmy Graham,
That's where my fab money's going. Let's get to that. Well, let's talk about the running backs first.
We'll get there, I promise.
Sorry.
Other running backs.
Fast forward to Corey, Steve.
other running backs. Tony, can I interest you in Akeem Hunt?
No, he actually went the wrong way last night. He had negative points.
Yes, he did.
When you think of garbage, think of Hakeem.
You laugh every time he makes that joke, huh? You literally laugh every time he makes that joke.
You don't think Coming to America was the funniest thing that ever happened in the history of movies?
It was a funny movie.
It's so funny. When I do other shows and I start thinking about this show, I get all upset sometimes. Like I said, Akeem Hunt, the only Middle Eastern player that Scott Engel has to recommend people pick up. What were you looking at? What were you looking that made you think, like, just because opportunity?
Yeah, he had a good game a few weeks ago, on Salim, about 9 touches, and Miller was kind of banged up, and Blue wasn't there, I thought it was worth the flyer.
Miller surprised me last night. How well he did.
Yeah.
Akeem Hunt, though, five weeks ago, did you know who he was?
Yes, I did.
Of course,
actually.
He's a king.
Really?
But, I try to go down the depth chart sometimes and find out, what if this guy gets hurt, and that guy gets hurt.
That's good work, Scott.
You got to try and do it.
What about your boy Dwayne Washington, Corey? Sorry for hitting you off the table.
23 carries for 32 yards the last two games.
Dwayne Washington is pitiful. this is don't pick him up. I told you this guy robbed me, Dwayne Washington, back in like week three or four.
He robbed you blind.
Back in week three or four, I spent like three and change of fab money on Dwayne Washington, and this kid was an absolute – I almost cussed just now. This kid was an absolute stiff. He needs to learn how to run in the NFL. He doesn't read the blocks well. He's got some – I think he has some talent, to be honest with you, Scotty. But this is not nothing that's not going to come to fruition in the 2016 season.
No.
Alex Collins with Thomas Rawls, the last man standing in Seattle. What do we think of Alex Collins, Scott? I mean, this is
they like this.
Hold on. This is the guy. Before you do this, I apologize.
I'm gonna put my
feet
up.
This is the guy, Scotty, that you told me back in May and June and July August.
Tony rostered him in a dynasty league, I think.
You told me that forget CJ ProSize. That's what everyone is talking about. But you watch his team. Alex Collins is the guy if anything goes wrong. Well, in a roundabout way, with Christian Michael out and CJ ProSize out and Jermaine Pope out, Alex Collins is the handcuff here.
I don't know if Pope's going to be the factor, though. Like Collins was inactive last week, but it was kind of like a Cameron Artis Payne kind of thing.
Right.
Because they didn't need him.
Okay.
You know, they drafted this kid in the fifth round. They liked him. He did get in there for one play against New England. He fumbled, but I don't think they're going to hold it against him. He also had a touchdown run earlier this year when Christian Michael got banged up. They like him. If he gets work in that offense, I think he can be a decent plugger. You know, the team will continue to move the ball. He'd have some goal line opportunities. I think if you have Rawls, you want Collins as the handcuff.
Okay, so there you go. There you have it from Scott from the King. There you go. He's nothing but that's it. Just a handcuff.
Just a handcuff. But Rawls already got banged up in his first game back. Here's the thing with Rawls. Rawls learned a lot from Marshawn Lynch, and that's both good and bad. Mm-hmm. He's very physical. He laid some hits last week when he was running, but he's also only 5'9". So he runs bigger than his size, and that can be dangerous. That can lead to more injuries, which can lead to opportunity for Collins.
How tall are you?
So
about
5'10" or so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So if Rawls learned from Marshawn Lynch, shouldn't you stay out of the crosswalk if you live near Rawls?
Tony, are there any other running backs?
I don't really get that.
Are there any other running backs that you'd like to pick up?
No. Actually, not at all. I would take Smallwood as the best, and I don't think that's a great opportunity.
Yeah. So not a big week of running backs for you. Any other running backs for you, Cor?
Nope.
And we talk about Burkhead, right?
Yep.
We talked about Collins. I don't think Chris Ivory shouldn't be on your waiver wire this time of year. Neither should Tim Hightower.
No. Obviously, Mike Gillisley as well.
I think we're pretty.
If he was out there, he's by far the best.
What about Nando's guy, Denard Robinson?
Oh, I can't with Denard.
I'm not
Robinson.
Doing. I don't want any Jags at this point. Personally.
He's got an opportunity now because of the injury to T.J. Yeldon.
Yeah.
But like you said, we're probably taking like 5-6 touches per game.
Because Ivory's gotten hurt many times before.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think we've got Ivory.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. Scotty.
I know who we missed, who we forgot. Adrian Peterson.
No, we talked about him a little bit earlier.
Okay.
Scott likes Adrian Peterson.
Oh, yeah. That's
Thanks for
right.
listening.
No, I was listening, but we
Brandon LaFell or Bilal Powell?
We didn't talk about him in the waiver I know, right? We didn't talk about him in the waiver wire section.
We did not talk about the waiver wire section. How much you spend on Adrian Peterson, Corey?
Oh, I don't want him. I don't give a shit.
you don't like older running backs.
I don't like the beat up old running backs.
You don't like Frank Gore?
Frank Gore is balling, but he wouldn't be on my team.
Scotty, you like Adrian Peterson. You said you're in. How much are you going to spend on him this week?
I'm going to spend $15.
You spend $15?
Say you got $35 left in Fab. How much are you spending?
$12.
Okay. So you're spending the same way? Wow. Right there. He likes him.
Yeah.
He likes him. Okay. Gentlemen, when we come back.
I mean, if Scott's feet were touching underneath the table.
You guys playing footsies then?
We weren't playing footsies.
He just asked me how tall I am, and now he's playing footsies with me.
Next thing you know, he's gonna ask you if you shave your head or you're just bald. Wide receivers are next. The Corral, we'll be right back. Waiver Wire Tuesday here. and Greg Sussman, Scott Engel, Corey Forrest, and Tony Cincata hanging out with you till 10 a.m. Eastern. Scotty, getting Thursday morning off. How nice is that? Thanksgiving time with your wife.
Yeah, and my brother's coming over, so it should be fun. Looking forward to it.
There you go. Let's get to the waiver wire wide receivers here. And we've talked a lot, gentlemen, on this show thus far this morning about Brandon LaFell and what we're going to spend on him, what we like about him. Scott, you don't like LaFell. You said if someone's going to take over, someone's going to see an increase in usage and points, it's Tyler Boyd. How much are you spending on Tyler Boyd this week?
I would say, I know one league where I definitely need a receiver, so I'm probably going heavy on him.
Going heavy. You like Tyler Boyd.
$36, yeah.
Now, Tony, $36 for Scott. But the rumor had last night that Odell Beckham, because I'm looking at his jersey, that A.J. Green may not be out for the year. What do we think here about Tyler Boyd?
Well, we only need 2 weeks, right?
That's true. That's true.
Get in the playoffs. So I like both these wide receivers. I would take LaFell over Boyd just because of the experience there. But I think Tyler Boyd has the ability to get deep in games. When you look at Brandon LaFell, even though he's got some touchdowns, he's got him basically inside the green zone, and he's been a big target there. So I could see playing Boyd for the big – but if you need a wide receiver, both these guys are where you go, because I really don't see A.J. Green being – any fantasy impact the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think he's going to struggle as well. I like Boyd and LaFell. Which one would you rather have? I know Sky's with Boyd.
LaFell.
You'd rather have LaFell. How come?
Yeah. I just think this will be a more consistent option. I think Boyd is the guy that next year will be the starting wide receiver opposite A.J. Green.
Right.
And I think he has the ability to make the big plays. But in this offense, I think they're going to throw the ball short, they're going to be protective. And yeah, I think he has a chance in the goal lines to have some opportunities. I just think it's more conservative, LaFell.
Scott? Yeah, what makes you like Boyd more?
I just feel he has more upside.
Okay.
He's more of a blank palette. I think he's more talented than LaFell. And I haven't seen enough. I made my case. I don't think opportunity necessarily leads to increased production. You know, I think Brandon LaFell already had an opportunity there to, you know, show something across from A.J. Green, and he didn't do enough. So, you know, I'm not big on Brandon LaFell. So,
all right, well, here's the thing, Scotty. Why didn't Tyler Boyd take the job as the number two receiver?
I think there was some fundamental things that he had to learn about the NFL. But I think he's definitely more talented than Brandon LaFell, and I think they have no choice now but to give him more of that opportunity.
I'm like, well, why didn't it happen earlier? Why didn't he step up as the guy opposite of Green earlier? It was still LaFell. But
when you take things into account, like fundamentals, like blocking and stuff like that, I think, you know, LaFell, I haven't watched enough film to say it, so I'm just assuming that he could be better than that. I've already seen enough of Brandon LaFell to know that there's really no upside.
But you keep saying that, you know, one of your lines is opportunity doesn't create production. You said that.
Yeah.
But why all of a sudden is the opportunity to create production for Tyler Boyd but not for Brandon LaFell?
Because I've already seen LaFell. I haven't seen Boyd in an expanded role, and I like his skill set. So I think, like I said, he's an unpainted palette, whereas I've already seen Brandon LaFell try to paint, you know, and throw a few speckles on there, and that was it.
Brandon LaFell or Tyler Boyd for you, Corey?
LaFell got the job.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying?
Like, I feel you.
LaFell is the guy. LaFell is now with the injury to this to A.J. Green. LaFell is the number one guy in I don't know. This whole thing is disgusting, to be honest with you. The Cincinnati passing game with Eifert and LaFell.
I feel like over the last 2 hours, you've been in on this to out.
You know you're getting something to the floor with Powell, I think.
I'm not worried about the Powell thing. I'm back to these two wide receivers. I got to go with the veteran guy, and you get him for a little bit cheaper. Everybody's going to be on the high upside young player. I got to go with the veteran guy in LaFell, who they gave the job to. He was the guy opposite side of A.J. Green. He was getting the snaps, not a whole bunch of targets. We didn't see Tyler Boyd emerge until Green got hurt. Then he came in. We saw the targets go up for him. I think it's LaFell. I think it's pitiful, but I think it's LaFell.
I think it's very possible this could be a putrid offense, and we could be talking toasted Bengals here. You know, it's
Tony, Is Devontae Parker out there anywhere?
He could be, and if he is, he moves ahead of both those guys. It's a good matchup this week for the Miami passing game, which I don't – it's a great matchup for their running game. So I like what I saw Devontae Parker. He was the guy that played last week. To me, I take him over those two guys.
Hey, Corey, I need to ask you a question.
In fact, I would go like 90% of my budget.
Yeah, I like Devontae Parker a lot, too. I would also go heavy on my budget as well.
Corey, for a wide receiver?
For Devontae Parker, yeah.
I don't think you can pay that much for a wide receiver.
If you needed one, there's only 2 weeks left. What am I going to save it for?
Yeah, that's true, too.
It's only 2 weeks. There is
you can't go to Burger King with it.
Nope.
No, you can't go anywhere. Scott will try, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sandwich. I got this $5 left over. Let me get a croissant sandwich.
Yeah, I was actually thinking of going to Burger King after the show, actually.
Benny recorded yesterday before Lineup Lock has a Burger King, Scotty. I was thinking of you.
Yeah.
I got to ask you, Corey.
Sure.
What do you think is the reason that we've seen – this is a Tony Sincana question. What do you think is the reason that we have seen an increase in the number of Devontae's in the NFL?
Let's look at it.
Devontae Booker, Devontae Parker, Devontae Freeman.
Let's see. This is
– they'll spell a little bit differently, but
– yeah.
But there's a lot of Devontae's.
I guess it's probably – I would say it's probably regional.
Okay.
Right? I would say it's probably regional.
Right.
So you say
Devontae Adams.
I think these are all Florida guys that you mentioned.
We know Freeman is. We know is Parker.
I think Parker's a Florida guy too.
Okay.
So it's probably regional. They're probably all around the same age. So it probably was a very popular name at that time.
Let's say it's about give or take 20 years ago, like 25 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, about 20, 25 years ago. So I figure it probably was a popular name at that time.
Is there any reason? I know they're all spelled slightly differently. But
is there any reason for it? No.
Yeah, no.
No. No. No. Like.
I get right now all the kids that named Shaq like are named after Shaq. Like, I get it, right? 25 years ago, like Shaq Thompson, Shaq Clear. I get it. Shaquille O'Neal was popular then. Right. It was a popular name. But I don't know.
I've never
Devontae.
Really known nobody. I don't know. I'm only speaking for myself.
Sure.
But for example, like my daughter has a name that's very popular with her age group.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like
right.
You take my daughter to the doctor and you say Kennedy and every 6-year-old girl in the place turn around. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like.
Did you name her after John F. Kennedy?
Huh?
You're a big fan of JFK?
Yeah, one of the greatest.
One of the greatest. All right. When we come back, more wide receivers and we'll talk Jared Cook. All comes your way next. You're on the Roto Experts.
Well, I can't wait.